George Capanelli here. Welcome to this edition of Age Nation Radio Magazine, where people, passion, and purpose meet.
And I'm Alan Huttner. We're your saging hosts at the place where boomers, elders, and conscious members of younger generations come to listen, learn, and participate in a lifestyle revolution. Join us for in-depth interviews with world-class experts and authors, provocative commentaries, humorous and informative special features, interspersed, as always, with some great music.
Our topic, the game of blind man's bluff. We're going to look at the game that is being played both in and on our world today. It is, in the end, a game played by those who we believe have lost their way and who are gambling with the well-being of our planet and all of our lives, and for the sake of private agendas and personal gain. We'll also have the opportunity to listen to a first part of a conversation Sedina and I had with Dr. Roger Teal, senior minister at Mile High Church in Denver, the largest New Thought church in the country, and the author of a great new book, This Life is Joy.
We also have our music interludes today with Leonard Cohen, Be For Real, Elton John, The Circle of Life, The Tremolos from Pirate Radio, great movie, Silence is Golden, and Pneumatic Soul with Dry Clean. Our special features today, George and I will bring you You've Got to Be Kidding segment, Sedina, another terrific and live and aging strategy segment, and I'll close with one of my Rudy raps.
So welcome to this place where people come to celebrate living consciously and aging wisely in the 21st century.
Are you back in my life to stay, or is it just for today? Or that you're gonna if it's a thrill you're looking for.
This game of blind man's bluff. People everywhere are pontificating and blustering about the budget deficit. And under the ruse of fiscal responsibility, people of both questionable intelligence and values who are operating in Washington and our state capital today are even pretending they have real answers. Unfortunately, while all this bluster and noise is going on, there are an awful lot of real challenges that are not being addressed. From our perspective, one of the most essential is, of course, and below the radar, is the issue of aging, the graying of our population and what we can do about it. This graying will, contrary to popular belief, continue for the next 50 or 60 years, and at an astounding rate of one person every 7 seconds. Eventually, 50% of our population over 50. And our nation, many of the primary institutions, businesses, and most of us as people remain youth-obsessed and age-averse and are terribly unprepared for the consequences of this change.
There are, of course, other reasons for the conundrums we face. Staggering investments in unjustified wars and military, unnecessary tax breaks for the wealthiest, absurd tax incentives for corporations that pay little, if any, tax dollars. Sweetheart deals for the drug companies established under Medicare during the second Bush administration, and of course the obscene and unconscionable disregard of climate change. But even the elimination of these gross abuses and a much greater focus of attention on dealing with our environmental challenges will not necessarily address the serious social, political, cultural, and economic challenges associated with the aging of our population.
You've heard us talk about some of the numbers before, 76 million boomers in America, about 26% of our population. I have begun to turn 65, 10,000 of them retire every day, and only 1 in 9 who reach retirement age have the financial resources needed to care for themselves, even in modest dignity, for the remainder of their lives. The average American will spend as much as 90% of all the money they spend on health care during their entire lifetimes in the last year. And as a result of our financial crisis, we now have the largest, best-educated army of unemployed older people in history, an army that stands a slim-to-none chance of finding gainful employment in traditional industries.
Faced with this startling reality, or perhaps many in denial of it, a new breed of wacky legislators in Washington and in a number of state capitals are trying to perform sleight of hands and serve us an unpalatable dish of ill-conceived concepts and toxic solutions. Cut Medicare or turn it into a private voucher system. Significantly reduce Medicaid, those benefits to the elderly, underprivileged youth, and the disabled, and transfer the remaining costs for these essential programs from the states, most of which are currently underwater, to the federal government, also underwater. Eliminate collective bargaining, turn Social Security into another bonus pool for Wall Street, increase the retirement age, decrease pension rights, and even privatize public education.
To borrow one of Mr. Shakespeare's better-known lines, this budget deficit and budget debate now resembles a tale told by an idiot full of sound and fury, signifying nothing. Alternatives, even in an age ripe with significant challenges, we have tremendous numbers of opportunities to reclaim our sovereignty and sanity, especially if we act with awareness and speed.
Well, first and foremost, as boomers and elders, those most immediately affected, we would be wise to remember who we are, what we have accomplished, what we are capable of doing, and what unites rather than divides us. After all, we are the ones who birthed and encouraged the civil rights movement, human rights movements, women's rights movements, animal rights, anti-war, nuclear disarmament, and environmental movements. We did that in our time. In short, we are the ones who know how to get things done. And remember that we have to be engaged and stay engaged to be sure that happens.
So if we want to neutralize some of the negativity, we can begin by doing some important things, turning toward rather than away from our fear of aging and making peace with the conversation about death. We can certainly pay much more attention to our well-being, better diets, more exercise, reflection, meditation, and a lot of constructive interaction with others. We can also acknowledge the fact that our political process is badly damaged, if not broken, and that we can neither wait nor depend upon it to be the real solution.
The infusion of obscene amounts of money and the exercise of undue influence by the few has resulted in the wholesale purchase of too many legislators. As a result, a number of participants in our governing process have lost their moral compass, and a number of voters are losing not only their rights to vote, but their interest in what is clearly a farcical game.
We can also give legislators a wake-up call by demanding that they take significant cuts in pay and benefits until America truly recovers. So there are a number of things we can do to return integrity and ethics to our process. And finally, we who are boomers and elders must remember that democracy only works when we stay involved.
And flexible.
Come back to the revolution. Age Nation Radio. George Capanelli here. Welcome to this edition of Conversations with the Wisdom Keepers, a series dedicated to bringing you insights, recommendations, and some valuable wisdom that some of our leading authors and experts deliver.
Hi, I'm Sedina Capanelli. Our guest today is Dr. Roger Teel, speaker, global spiritual leader, and the senior minister and spiritual director of Mile High Church in Denver, one of the largest New Thought churches in the country, with more than 30,000 members and friends in Denver and the greater Colorado area. Through storytelling, humor, and practical spirituality, Dr. Teel's transforming messages help empower people and lead them to their limitless potential to live dynamically. Roger holds a degree in psychology and religion, a Doctor of Divinity degree, and Doctor of Religious Science degree. His new book, which we love, This Life is Joy, Discovering the Spiritual Laws to Live More Powerfully, Lovingly, and Happily. Hi, Dr.
Hi.
Roger.
Thanks for having me on.
Oh, it's our pleasure.
Great that you're here.
You know, This Life is Joy is... we're not as generally effusive as we're going to be today. I just want you to understand that. First of all, it's terrific. It's inspiring. It's warm. It's practical. It's accessible. It's transparent. It's engaging. And it's just loaded with the kind of wisdom and guidance that we believe is so needed in these challenging times.
That's very kind. Thank you.
Well, it's clear that just a tremendous amount of work has gone into the crafting of this work, and it also does your reputation no harm at all as a storyteller. I want you to know that. You know.
Well, you know, some of the greatest have taught by stories, so I decided I should follow suit.
Well, you've done an outstanding job, and not only do the stories complement the flow of the content, but they give us as readers a real insight into both your honesty and your humility. And what I want to say is that from our standpoint, those are two qualities that are sorely missing at this time, especially in the voices of leaders. So we really want to celebrate that aspect of your book.
Oh, that's very kind. And, you know, I think to be authentic is what the world is looking for. And I started out on the book, I decided I'd talk about myself as well as many others. There are many illustrations, but in my own life, learnings have become my own realizations. And sometimes it's not always pretty the way we have to learn our lessons in this life, but that's the way it is, and I want to be authentic.
And that's the way we learn, really. Yeah. It is. You're so right. So, Dr. Roger, because our time is limited today, we would just love it if you take a few minutes to give the viewers a slight overview of the book, This Life is Joy. So, first of all, I want to know, how long did it take for you to get this book written, and what was your motivation for writing it, and just a few critical things that you can tell the readers that you want them to take away?
Well, I've been blessed to be a spiritual leader in this teaching, this New Thought Science of Mind and Spirit teaching, for nearly 40 years, and I'd had a lot of people nagging me to write a book, and I'd want to as well, but I think, you know, things happen in their right time, and it became the right time, and a publisher signed me to a contract and insisted that I should write it in the course of a year. And everybody who knows me well will tell you I'm a really well-honed procrastinator, and I waited until September of that year to begin. And so I wrote about 85% of the book in the course of a month.
Wow.
But I did nothing else.
Yeah.
Closeted myself and did the book.
You have to do that.
But it was during meditation, a deep period of meditation, that the words, "This instant is love," came to me in the meditation. And that's chapter one of part two. And that so struck me. It came with such a quality that, and then on the heels of them over this meditation, others of the chapter titles came in. This instant is love. This being is light. This world is consciousness. This idea is substance. And it all of a sudden unfolded. And so I wrote those down as quickly as possible and set out doing it. So part one is a fable that sort of sets up how we humans try to force everything and make things happen, not realizing that our portals to mastery are within us, in our heart. Then part two are pillars of truth, seven pillars of truth to help the reader perhaps embrace another view of reality. The reality isn't this hard, fast, physical, cold world, but that there's an invisible spiritual reality we participate in. And to understand that is the key to our mastery in this life. Right. Then part three are nine portals of transformation. And that's taking some of the difficult areas of life that we all deal with, whether it's fear or change or disease or uncertainty, judgment, things like that, and shine a different light on them. Because when we know this higher reality, then the way that the challenges of our life are different. There's a new story, there's a higher story, and we can be more masterful as we deal with all that. So that's the overview of the book.
So, thank you.
That parable that begins the teaching story that begins the book, I don't want to ruin it for readers. I want to make sure that they read it for themselves. But you say something at the end of it. You say, as with most teaching stories and parables, this is my story, this is your story, this is everyone's story. Mm-hmm. You say we're all seekers, not because something is missing that we must struggle to find. We search for more because we're made of more. So much more than we usually know. Tell us what that more is, or send us in that direction.
That's what's fueled my life and my career all these years. That moreness is the spiritual life, the authentic self that each of us is. And our society has done a wonderful job of teaching most of us that we are mortal beings alone and separate beings, separate from our source, that the divine is apart and away and either angry or disinterested, occasionally dispensing love and blessings. And we've come to think of ourselves as meager and inadequate. And this book is based on the teaching that we are full and rich spiritual beings who've fallen into forgetfulness. Mm-hmm. And we've crafted strategies of living that really produce pain and excessive effort and sabotage out of that false self-concept. So this book is grounded in the realization that you are love, I am love, and every being is a being of light. And we live in a world that is primarily consciousness, invisible intelligence and energy, and we're designed to be creators within that world of consciousness. Mm-hmm. And then it sets out to tell us how we can more masterfully create our lives.
Right. And Roger, early on you talk about the fact that the path to life mastery isn't found in some aggressive search, you know, resisting and attacking and so forth. You point out that most of history, in fact, is a record of all of that. So what is this path to life mastery that you speak about? How is that different from what we've, you know, been trained, domesticated to believe?
First of all, it's a path of the heart. And as my book unfolds, my transformation came with the initiation into the heart chakra and the opening of my heart, and everything else builds on that. And then the rest of it is realizing that when we make interior shifts in our awareness, then what we face yields to that we can actually find good in situations we used to think wasn't so great when we have shifted into our true power and our true nature. And so the book is about learning how to flow with life rather than coerce life, how to receive from the wellspring of the guidance and the richness within us rather than scrape around and try to manipulate things to happen. It's really coming out of a life of fear into a life based in spirit and love.
Now there's a beautiful concept.
Not only a beautiful concept, but clearly at this time in our history, a really necessary concept.
Yes. Now, you know, all you have to do is turn on the news or read the newspapers, and what you see is the continued struggle of humanity to awaken into a greater sense of who every one of us is, and to live from that place and to respect that in one another. One of the chapters is this relationship is oneness. And this book deeply teaches that not only are we one with the Creator and expressing the life of the Creator, but we're one with all beings. And it's time now to build bridges of understanding and connection across civilizations, cultures, and different lifestyles.
Absolutely.
Well, you know, we're going to take a break in just a moment or two, but when we come back, what I'd like to do is have us go a little bit deeper into the seven pillars and a little bit deeper into the nine portals, because for us, the seven pillars are a clear articulation of the foundation of the work that you do.
Absolutely.
And then the nine portals are wonderful because they're such practical solutions that people can apply.
So we're coming to the end of this segment. We're having a privilege today of talking to Dr. Roger Teel, Senior Minister and Spiritual Director of Mile High Church.
Stop waiting. Now's the time. Age Nation Radio. You're listening to Age Nation Radio. It's a state of mind.
All right. We have returned, Ellen and George, with you after that Roger Teel conversation about This Life is Joy. I need to get the book into my hands here based on your accolades, which were substantial around this. And, you know, he pointed out, or it was pointed out by the conversation, that honesty and authenticity and humility, three very good qualities of a human being living in spirit and awake and in love, is missing in our leaders. And it's just not happening in Congress. I think that's part of the theme of the show here, you know. So I'm not sure what we can do about it other than, as we've spoken about, tenacity and staying the course. So, but it's nice to have somebody operating from the light side, the love side. And I like some of the chapter titles that he brought
up. And I think that the one of the things that we can do is to make sure that we ourselves demonstrate some of those same qualities. And when we find leaders who are not demonstrating honesty and transparency and humility, we need to call them on it, because the pomposity really is just boring. And the authenticity brings us alive inside of ourselves, you know?
Yeah. Well, I think there's a way to call these folks on the carpet, so to say, as a metaphor, from in a heartful way, you know, a nonviolent Gandhian way,
sure,
saying this doesn't work, and you know, we're finding new systems for amassing power base that is contrary to all the money being spent to influence and brainwash people about a reality that's not—it's not reality. You know, we are, this is, I think, a Pierre Teilhard de Chardin's famous quote that everybody bandies around, that we are spiritual beings having a physical experience. The physical experience is a way to enjoy spirit, but we're not seeing that manifest. We're seeing a lot of the characteristics of lack of honesty, you know, a lack of love, fear, as Roger brought out, fear dominating. So we need not be that.
No, and one of the things, you know, when you said that we were very complimentary about Roger's book, is that it is grounded in some very practical things. I mean, even his chapter titles, you know, This Life, This Instant is Love. I sometimes find that I use that since reading the book. When I lose my way, when I get off track, I just take a breath and I say, this instant is love. And it helps remind me of what I can do, what I need to do. And so This Life is Joy is a really good book. And next week we're going to visit the third part of the book, which are the nine portals, in which there's really a ton of really useful information. And so I hope our listeners will look forward to that.
All right. How about a segue here with a little bit of music, maybe?
I think that's a great idea.
Here's Elton John.
Yeah, on the day we arrive on the planet, and we are on one remarkable planet. Time for You Gotta Be Kidding, you know, that segment where we look at items in the news that demonstrate both the absurd and ridiculous, as well as the sometimes uplifting and inspirational. Today we're going to look at three very complicated topics, but briefly. The first is the obviously a deadly terrorist attack in Paris that so many people are talking about. We're also going to look at the saga of the Keystone Pipeline and the ever-evolving story of George Zimmerman in the Trevor Martin case, you know. So we're talking about this. I mean, it's been beaten on so many levels.
Yeah, that's one of the things. I mean, how do we bring something fresh to this saga, you know, that continues to play out in different ways? And maybe it's about the follow-up that they recently published another issue in the face of more threats. This is that tenacity and staying the course that we talked about.
Well, but it's also, I think this issue brings up one of the topics that we were talking to Roger Thiel about, and that's authenticity. It's so hard. You know, I find so many people out there posturing on this topic because they believe that, you know, those who advance radical Islam are way out of alignment, and those who are here in the West and doing this and that, we're holier than thou. And it's just a challenging time. And I think the most critical thing is that we have to remember that if we want to stand up for truly moral positions and justice in our world, then those of us in our country and people in every country have to be accountable for the acts of violence that they commit against people within their nation and around. We need to stop giving fuel to terrorists, but we have to also stop those things that we do that terrorize and bring harm to others, you know?
Well, and just a brief closing thought on that. Follow the money. I mean, there's a lot of money that's funneled into the hands of these terrorists. It's not hard to track. We should know who's funding these acts.
Yeah.
All right. Keystone Pipeline, hot in the news. Recently, the Nebraska Supreme Court removed one of the impediments to the Keystone Pipeline. President Obama threatened to veto any kind of passage of the bill. But we need to activate ourselves again because four out of five people in the country, you know, have not really understood what is the word called? The continent-spanning death funnel designed to bring the world's dirtiest fossil fuel down through our country's most arable farmlands. I mean, it's a beast and it's a shadow side. There are other ways for us to create energy. This is not the way. So please be active in your addressing your federal congressmen or senators to, you know, not do the vote.
Yeah, and our third topic today, you know, we entitle it Extreme Prejudice and Violence. There's really a lot of ugliness on the whole question of our views on each other, what makes us different, our lack of tolerance for each other, too much tolerance for violence by police departments and the public and just courts of loonies who commit it. You know, this guy, George Zimmerman, who started this whole thing about the slaughter of young black men. You know, recently he's brought on charges again of domestic violence, and finally they've decided to take his guns away from him, you know. But he goes to gun shows, and he's a hero to some people. So we need to pay attention to these things, not just as things to talk about, but in our hearts we need to find a way to stop perpetuating violence, to stop giving it permission.
Well, as another Gandhian principle, we need to be that love that we want to see in other people. We have to walk our talk. We demonstrate it. That's where it all starts. That's a power base that builds around 1, 2, 3. We're more than two are gathered in my name.
Yeah, and that there's always the power of one, and the power of one comes from the heart.
Step into the sun. There's more to be seen than can ever be seen, more to do than can ever be done. Some say eat or be eaten, some say live and let live, but all I agree is that
join the stampede. You should never take more than you give. In the circle of life is the wheel of fortune.
Age Nation Radio. Love, laugh, enjoy life.
George and Alan back for segment four. Now let's listen to another great Enlivened Aging segment.
Hi, I'm Sedina with Enlivened Aging Strategies, simple yet powerful tools to support you in creating greater clarity, balance, inner peace, and rejuvenation for your body, mind, and spirit. Today's Enlivened Aging strategy is listening to the heart. Sometimes getting older and making our way at a later stage in life can be a lonely and confusing journey. It can feel like walking a very long way with no end in sight, feeling tired and incredibly thirsty. Yet what if you knew there was a well nearby that was topped off with a few feet of murky water, but just below the surface, deeper down, there was a pure crystal stream running through with deposits of gold? Would you not come to that well and take away the old polluted water to uncover and drink from the rich, pure water below? Well, there is a plentiful well very close by that, if you're willing to tap into, will bring you aliveness and refreshment for your soul. It is the well of your possibilities, your talents, and true expression in the world. It is the well of your cherished dreams, of your heart's longing, and it is the natural remedy for stale old ways of thinking and living. This well lies in the resources of our own hearts. That essential essence of who we are is waiting within, in the depths beneath any agitation, crystal clear and pure. This authentic spirit is always there waiting to renew and revive us and bring meaning and purpose to our lives. With just the willingness to listen to our hearts, we can know our true path. Maybe it's the rediscovery of abilities or talents we've always had that just need to be explored again. Or perhaps it's a career change, a desire to volunteer, or a self-made job that springs from those gifts that have gone dormant. If we're willing to listen to our hearts and trust what we hear, we can discover our strengths once again. Those things that we have always been good at, that taught us to be loving and to feel alive. And we can think of those people who made us smile and feel just right and recall the positive values they shared with us. So by respecting our heart's call and the wisdom that is always there waiting for us, we will reconnect with our dreams. These gifts of the heart are essential to our wellness, to our work in the world, to our relationships with ourselves and with all of life. So remember to include listening to the heart in your Aging Consciously backpack, and go to enlivenedaging.com for more. Many blessings.
Ah, takes me back a few years. I like that sound.
Quite a few.
60 sound or 50, 60. Anyway, next week we'll have more music, of course, and take another deeper look at things that support you in living the life you were born to live. Another conversation between George Sedina and Roger Teal. We'll do part two of that and all those portals. And what else? Yeah.
Also, you know, Age Nation's really pleased to announce our 2015 Navigating Your Future Conference Series. We're going to do a great weekend at Mile High in Denver, April 9th and 11th. Then we'll be doing some programs in Seattle. Great folks, Sonia Choquette, Mark Nepo, Gail Sheehy, Greg Braden, Carolyn Mace, and Sedina and myself. Sedina and I will also be in Tucson at the book festival there, March 14 and 15, and in San Diego at the Integrated Health Conference, March 22nd and 23rd. And now we're really privileged to have an opportunity to listen to another Rudy rap. What's it going to be this week?
Okay. This is titled Love is Not Blind. That's a bluff of the mind, tying into our theme. And I'll kick the music off here. This is Groove Closet, the various artist album, Pneumatic Soul, the group, and Dry Clean, the track. So, love is not blind. That's a bluff of the mind. I have a mantra from a friend, Kai Pacha, to rap at ya, to guide your way as you navigate the day, to listen closely to what your inner voice has to say. Not a surface find, not your monkey mind, not your beliefs, which are generally blind, to the truth you best now find, to that still voice, to now align, for your decision-making to refine a true redesign of who am I. A voice from the third eye, that ultimate wisdom guy or gal, divinity and he, divinity and she, divinity within me. So let's go to this mantra I know from the new Paradigm Astrology YouTube show. Quote, sometimes when I think I need to fix this or that, it's really just trust in spirit that I lack. Again, sometimes when I think I need to fix this or that, it's really just trust in spirit that I lack. So where does spirit reside? Is it outside or inside? Why does it so often seem to hide from my seeing eyes? Or for that matter, from my ear to hear or touch to feel? What's the spirit trust connection deal? And is that all I need to heal? Just put spirit at the wheel of this vehicle I call me, navigating as a wave on this grand cosmic sea? To be or not to be is not the question. Shakespeare was pointed in the wrong direction. You cannot not be. You are spiritually an eternal aware being, having a physical experience in this spiritually housed body here and now. So to answer the questions before, for you to ponder no more, trust resides in the heart, as does love. Spirit is love in motion, multidimensional molecular commotion. Actually, the life force that manifests in form, birth, death, marriage, divorce, all creations of spirit force. Spirit is also known best in the heart, although it resides everywhere, outside, inside, atoms, molecules, in a constant energetic ride, and our awareness can be consciousness, pre-ego, persona to see. Best to let spirit drive our ship of state, for it knows our destiny and our fate, and or mission to co-create. And that is love, without debate, with duality as our mate, not separation in spate, but as unity with impunity from fear that it's my dear, clear, the spirit trust connection is so, so near, as close as your heart center. Blind man's bluff is an old paradigm game. I say, enough, take the ego blinders off, choose love over fear, the spirit of love oh so near, just a thoughtless away. A thoughtless away. The mind can be blind. It will bluff you most of the time. It triggers fear, while the heart chakra so near triggers love. Yes, love, the law of vibrational energy. L-O-V-E, the essence of you and me and he and she. All of we. We are love in infinity.
best is yet to come. Age Nation Radio.